It's One Story Time, a podcast for kids of all ages who want to become investigators of God's Word, the one story of redemption in Jesus Christ. In each episode, we will learn an amazing word of the week, investigate a challenging question about God and His world, or to discover how to apply a Bible story to our lives. So let's get started. Here's our host, Dr. John Quosney, but you can just call him Doc.
Welcome back to another edition of One Story Time. Have you told any of your friends about this podcast lately? What about your enemies? They need to learn from God's Word too, right? Speaking of enemies, do you have any? Sometimes our enemies are very obvious, and we know who they are. The bully at school, the neighbor next door who makes fun of you or has nothing to do with you, a brother or sister who is more like a rival than a friend. But sometimes, especially as you get older, we don't really know we have an enemy out there. I tend to be surprised when I hear that someone doesn't like me or actually really hates me. Not that I think I am so lovable or that I always treat other people so well. I just don't think I try to make enemies. But that doesn't necessarily mean I don't have some. People may not like you for a variety of reasons. Maybe you said or did something that you have long forgotten, but another person has never forgiven you for it. Maybe he or she is jealous or envious of you for some reason. Or just maybe you have an enemy because you are a Christian. So you are probably getting the idea of our hard question for today. Why do I have to love my enemies? This is a challenging question, even for adults. It just doesn't sound right to love our enemies. We love our friends, but not our enemies, right? First of all, I want you to notice that I didn't ask this question. Do I have to love my enemies? The Bible is very clear on this question. The answer is yes. Christians are commanded to love their enemies. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 6, verses 27 to 30. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. There can be no misunderstanding of what Jesus is saying here. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Bless them. Pray for them. Even give to them. These are such hard words for our hearts to hear. So again, we ask today, why must I love my enemy? For more help, we can go to another place Jesus talks about our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Jesus begins by saying it is most natural to love your friends and hate your enemies. After all, your enemies don't love you, right? They don't deserve to be loved. Our sinful tendency is to hate those who hate us. But followers of Jesus are called to be different. We are called to reflect the love of God to all people, including our enemies. So Jesus says that we are to love our enemies and especially pray for those who persecute us. Now, Jesus has in mind a very specific kind of enemy here, doesn't he? This is a person who is your enemy because you are a Christian. Do you have any of those kind of enemies yet? As you show forth your faith in Jesus in front of other people, you will. So why do we have to pray for our enemies? Well, for one thing, they need our prayers. They need to have their lives changed. If they are persecuting you for being a Christian, they need Jesus. So we must pray for their salvation. Most of the time, we pray that our enemies would just leave us alone, or that God would protect us from our enemies or take them away. These are not necessarily bad prayers. It is understandable that we can be afraid of our enemies and we need God's protection. But don't forget to pray for your enemy's heart to be changed as well. After all, if your enemy comes to know Jesus and repents of his sin, then he will no longer be your enemy. But pay attention to one last thing Jesus said in the verses we read earlier. One of the reasons we love our enemies is so that we may be sons of our Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. We love our enemies because we are children of God. God is love. God loves his people while they were still his enemies and transforms them by his gracious love. As children of God, then, we must imitate our Heavenly Father. That makes sense, right? We must become a channel of his love to those who hate us. And what Jesus is also saying is that even though not all people will enjoy the saving love of God, all people enjoy the loving provisions of God, like sun and rain. In other words, we should love our enemies because they are people too, made in the image of God. Your love for your enemy won't save him or her, but it will give them a taste of God's love for them. Here's another verse in the Bible about our enemies, from Proverbs 24, verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to be very happy when something bad happens to my enemy. It makes me feel good that they are getting what they deserve. Serves them right for how bad they've treated me. But according to God's word, this is not how we are to act. We are not to rejoice when our enemy stumbles. We are not to be glad when bad things happen to our enemies. This is not loving our enemy. When our hearts are reflecting God's love, we should not just be looking for our enemy to fall. We should want our enemy to turn to Christ and enjoy the blessings of God. Your enemy may need to suffer before he repents, but we should find no joy in it. Let's look at another passage, this time in the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. When someone hits you, what is your first reaction? You probably want to hit him or her back, right? When an enemy attacks, we want to attack back. We are people who want to get revenge. No one wants to be a victim. We want to hurt those who hurt us. So this command also goes against our grain. We are not to get revenge on our enemies? Why not? Because God will avenge us. He will repay. Think about it this way. God is the God of perfect justice. He knows exactly what every sin deserves. When we humans try to get revenge, we usually go too far. We usually make a person hurt more than we hurt. But not God. He is the perfectly just avenger. Well, one last verse to help us see why we need to love our enemies. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. We love our enemies so we can be blessed by God. Always remember that God loved you when you were still his enemy, when you were in sinful rebellion against him. As a Christian, you are blessed by God with salvation. That also means you were blessed to be a blessing to others. So to enjoy the rich blessings of God, we are to bless our enemies, do good to those who hate us, pray for those who persecute us. When we choose to follow God's commands rather than our own sinful desires, we enjoy abundant spiritual blessings in Him. But before I finish answering this challenging question for us today, I want to point out a few more important things. First, loving your enemy doesn't mean you just quietly and passively take any and all abuse and hurt he or she may want to put on you. There is a time to run, to avoid your enemy, to make sure you're safe from him or her. Secondly, loving your enemy doesn't always mean dealing with your enemy all by yourself. For one thing, you have the Lord as your protector and avenger. But you also need to seek the help of parents and other authorities that can bring justice to the situation. Then third, there is a time for self-defense. This is not the same thing as revenge. To stand strong against an enemy can actually be a loving thing to do. It is not loving to just be a victim and allow an enemy to always hurt you. And fourth, always make sure that you haven't done something that has created this enemy relationship. Be willing to confess your own sin when necessary. Try to reconcile and be at peace with your enemy if at all possible. Loving your enemy according to God's word means praying for your enemy, finding ways to bless your enemy, and resisting getting revenge on your enemy. It is a great day when your enemy repents and may even become a friend. It is also a relief when your enemy just gives up on persecuting you. But in this life, you will always have enemies, especially enemies who hate you for being a Christian. Those are the enemies we want to be a witness to, so they can come to know Jesus. You will always need strength and courage that only comes from God in order to deal with the enemies in your life. Being a Christian means being set apart and different than the world. Loving your enemies is one big way that shows the world that you love Jesus.
Thank you for investigating God's Word with us today. One Story Time is brought to you by One Story Ministries, provider of Christ-centered Bible curriculum for the church, home, and school. You can discover more about our resources for children, youth, and adults by visiting onestoryministries.org. Please share this podcast with your friends, family, and church so you can talk about it together. Until next time, keep learning, loving, and living out God's Word.